Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. If you bought a lottery ticket, what are the odds? What are the odds that you would win a multi-state Powerball lottery? Well, the odds makers tell us it's probably averaging about 185 million to one. So good luck. If you played baseball in high school, what are the odds that you're going to play in the major league? Well, that's about 6,600 to one. A little better odds there. What are the odds that someone will guess your four-digit PIN code on the first try? Well, if you're good at math, you know that's 10 times 10 times 10 times 10. So that's 1 in 10,000 opportunities to guess your PIN. What about your odds of being struck by lightning? 3 million to one, unless your name is Roy, apparently. Because there's a park ranger named Roy Sullivan, and he holds the world record for being struck by lightning. Between 1942 and 1977, seven times out in the park doing his park ranger work, and there's a hat with a lightning bolt through it as one of the times. So, what are the most important questions we need to ask ourselves when we're thinking, what are the odds? What are the odds that a man brutally beaten and then crucified by the Roman Empire would come back to life? I mean, the Roman soldiers, they knew how to kill and do it efficiently and do it well. What are the odds that he would have come back to life? Well, the odds are truly astronomical, but get this, it actually happened. It really happened. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. The goal for us in this sermon today is to be able for us to first profess Easter, that is to tell it, to share it, to relive the story, and then to individually and personally possess Easter, make it our own. You know, Easter happened. That's what we do when we say and we speak. We actually profess Easter happening. But now what we need to do is talk about it happening in me, in each of us, individually and uniquely. How do we possess this wonderful news and make it our own? My friends, that's our task this morning, and not just this morning, but each and every day that we rise in the morning, living anew as Christ lived for us. Today we are wrapping up the series, the 10th part in the series that we began long ago on Ash Wednesday, way back in February, and we've been working through the book of Exodus. Today we find ourselves in Exodus chapter 15, talking about odds. What are the odds that a group of Israelite slaves would be able to defeat the most powerful military force on earth? The Egyptians, of course, led by hard-hearted Pharaoh. Well, the drama begins back in Exodus chapter 1, which says this: the Egyptians put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor, who worked them ruthlessly. They made their lives bitter with hard labor and brick and mortar and with all kinds of work in the fields. That's a tough beginning, isn't it? But it actually gets worse. A little bit later on, Exodus chapter 5, no longer supply the people with straw for making bricks. Let them go and gather their own straw, but require them to make the same number of bricks as before. Don't reduce their quota. So Pharaoh now is using bricks and whips and his best tricks to keep those slaves down and under control. But it gets worse. As the Israelites are finally able to flee Egypt after those 10 plagues, they all of a sudden look over their shoulder. They think they're scot-free, and who do they see behind them? But Pharaoh madly chasing them and screaming, "I'm not finished with you. You're going to pay." And then it gets even worse. The Israelites, with the Red Sea in front of them, they're surrounded. They're stuck on all sides. Exodus chapter 14, they said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have brought us to the desert to die?" It seemed like just when the odds were completely against Israel, we come then to our text for the day. Pharaoh's chariots and army he has hurled into the sea. The finest of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. No wonder the Israelites sing in Exodus chapter 15, read by Vicky a few moments ago, singing, "The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation." This is the very first Alleluia of the Exodus story. And then a verse later, Moses sings, Yahweh is a man of war. Yahweh is his name. And all of this, though, just a sneak peek, a prelude and a preview into the Bible's greatest against the odds story, Jesus. You know, opposition began pretty early in Christ's ministry. The Pharisees, they would plot with the Herodians. Detractors would say he was demon-possessed. Scribes would test him with Torah trivia. His brothers would ride and ridicule him. And Sadducees posture with Pentateuchal pride. But it gets even worse. Christ would have to pay. Once he was arrested, he was bound, he was accused, blindfolded, and then mocked. But it got even worse. They strip him naked, and they beat him into a bloody pulp. But if you can imagine it, it gets even worse. Jesus is there, blood-soaked, and then spiked to a tree for hours. He is crucified, he breathes last. And finally, he is buried in a borrowed tomb. 3 days later, though, just when everyone thought it was all over, the angel announced to them, he's not here. It is just as he said. And Mary shouts, Rabboni. And Thomas, for the ages, my Lord and my God. Against all the odds, Jesus lives. Alleluia, Christ is risen. So as I said, the goal for us today is to be able to profess Easter and then make it our own as we possess that wonderful news that Christ is raised. Easter happened. That's how we profess. Easter is happening in me daily, and that's how we possess it. But my friends, there are at least three barriers, three things that are keeping us from possessing Easter for ourselves, making it our own. Maybe for you, you grew up in a family that didn't work too well. Sometimes we do run into these people and they're kind of like walking zombies because maybe when they were children, something was broken inside of them and now they're a third or a halfway through their life and they're beginning to think that the thing that was broken will never be able to be fixed. What was lost will never be found. I'm talking to the 1 in 3 people whose parents were divorced. I'm talking about the 1 in 4 women who were sexually abused as children. I'm talking about the 1 in 7 people who grew up with an alcoholic parent. I'm talking about the people who grew up in lives with absentee dads, controlling moms, screaming parents, or abusive siblings. And you get to feel as though the odds are totally stacked against you. Or maybe that's not you. Maybe you have instead experienced a devastating loss. For some of this, it might mean your spouse has died. Maybe your marriage has died. Maybe you've had a child die. Or a parent die too early. For others, it means your dreams have died. And I'd venture to guess that for some of you, your will to live has maybe died. Most days, it probably feels as though Mount Everest is on your chest, just crushing what's left of your will to live. You feel as though the odds are stacked against you. Or maybe you've been crippled by a destructive habit. What is it for you? Is it gambling, alcohol, pornography? Is it work? I once heard a guy say, I spent my entire childhood just feeling invisible. No, there was no abuse or any of that other stuff. I just felt invisible. I wanted to say to people, hello, I'm a little person, but I need something. Please notice me and convince me that I'm loved. And in his life, that never happened. And now he is addicted to his big boat, to booze and big bucks. You feel as though the odds are against you. Well, all the odds were actually against a man named Lee Capps. Remember, you might remember this story from a few years ago. Lee, who didn't know how to fly, went up with his pilot friend, who of course did know how to fly. They got up to cruising altitude. The friend, the pilot, had a heart attack and died there in the pilot seat. Lee knew enough at least to be able to grab the radio and begin crying for help. Air traffic controller in Renton, Washington heard his cry and he said, you know what, Lee, this is your lucky day. I'm not only your air traffic controller, but I'm also a flight instructor. So would you be interested in a lesson today? Being otherwise unoccupied, Lee said, sure, why not? The air traffic controller said, Lee, you're going to have to take a shot at landing this plane. No practice, no dress rehearsal, and no spring training for this. Well, Lee Cap did try to land, but he came in like a drunk duck. He was all over the place, and he did hit pretty hard, totaled the entire front of the plane, but he was able to walk away with just a few cuts and bruises. Afterwards, the flight controller was interviewed by several TV stations, and they said, do you really think that he would make it away alive? And the air traffic controller responded, folks, Lee Cap made it against all odds. And I know, God, I know that you got stuff going on, a whole lot of stuff going on in your life. Maybe you're circling the runway now, afraid that if you try to land, you're going to crash and burn. Well, let me remind you of two honest-to-God facts. The first is, against all odds, Israel did make it out of Egypt. And better yet, against all odds, Jesus Christ is risen from the grave. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
We can profess Easter with every ounce of our being today. But, oh God, we also long to possess Easter for ourselves. It's one thing to be able to say and witness and share the words. It's another to make it our own, to make it individual and unique to us and personal. Here's what Paul says we can look at. He says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. Yeah, it's through the presence and the power of the Spirit that Easter gets to happen in us. God promises resurrection for everything that has looked so lifeless, so hopeless and dead in your lives before. And all you need to do, ask the Holy Spirit to make Easter real for you. It's with the Spirit's help that we can hear the good news of Jesus and the gospel message. We can hear what he said to the disciples in the Last Supper, and we can take these words as our own. Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. So that in spite of all the wrong choices we've made and the consequences of those choices, your eternal destiny will not be shaped by any of that. Instead, your eternal destiny will be shaped by the unconditional love that Jesus has for you. The same Jesus that chose you. Loved you so much that he gave his life on that cross to completely atone for every wrong thing you would say, do, and think, and to secure for you a destiny in eternal in heaven. Against all odds, Jesus has smiled at you and he's asked you to dance, or he's drafted you on his team. He's asked you to be a part of the church. We're the brothers and sisters in Christ who, people just like you, against all odds, have also been chosen by him. Jesus at the Last Supper also assured his disciples, no one has greater love than this than to lay down his life for his friends. And the very next day on that cross, Jesus did exactly that for his friends, those who he called, those who he chose. That's you and me, my friends. This almost too good to be true gospel is absolutely true for us. And even now, against all odds, the risen Jesus is offering that same love to you. How? John chapter 14, Jesus said it this way. He said, because I live, you also will live. Easter happened. That's profess. Easter is happening in me. I've made it my own, and now I can possess it. That we live now today, and we will live forever. We have a word for this. What word would it be? We're going to read this next word together. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
He is risen.